I'm glad you could join me for this episode of Practical Azure on Channel 9's MSDN Dev Radio. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technology evangelist in the Boston area, and today's topic is HD Insight. HD Insight is somewhat of an anomaly among the Windows Azure services, most of which have admittedly mundane but also quite self-evident names. You can probably tell what Windows Azure Blob Storage is and what virtual machines do, even if you know nothing about Windows Azure. HD Insight, though? If I told you that HD Insight is the official name of the feature previously known as Hadoop on Azure, a few bells of recognition will probably go off. HD Insight is essentially the Apache Hadoop implementation hosted on Windows and adapted specifically for Windows Azure. It's the product of a collaboration with Hortonworks, who helped make the Windows distribution of Hadoop a reality. In the future, you'll also see an on-premises offering to complement Microsoft's Business Intelligence Suite behind the firewall, but for now we'll focus on what's provided in Windows Azure. Before we look at working with HD Insight directly, I wanted to take a few minutes to provide a level set of the problem space on which HD Insight is focused. In general terms, it's big data. But the big adjective really takes on three dimensions. There's volume, just the sheer amount of data that's being produced by the proliferation of devices out there. And with data storage costs plummeting, we're all hoarders now. There's less worth throwing out with the hope we'll be able to mine some additional data value out of it. Unstructured data is all around us, data from social media, from sensors, from the myriad devices that make up the Internet of Things. We talked about NoSQL databases, of which Windows Azure Table Storage is an example, a while ago, for instance. It's not just practical anymore to assume that all the data you'll need and consume is going to fall into nicely schematized third normal forms. And then there's data velocity, as those of you on Twitter can attest to. We're creating data in unparalleled intensity, and it's not just human-generated. Sensors are everywhere, in your PC, in your car, in your thermostat, gathering information at an insane and relentless speed. If the Dustin Hoffman classic, The Graduate, were filmed today, data, not plastics, would be the one word. Big data has created a new industry, and it's estimated the market will grow to about $16.9 billion in the next 3 years at an annual growth rate of about 40%. And the number of data scientists that are needed to harness that data is expected to fall short of demand for the next 5 years. Now, the standards bearer for processing big data is Hadoop, an open source project founded by Doug Cutting, formerly of Yahoo, and named for his son's toy elephant. Hadoop is an implementation of Google's MapReduce framework, a distributed divide-and-conquer algorithm supporting the parallelization of large computational tasks. Now, as you can see in the diagram here, there are two major portions of the Hadoop architecture. There's compute at the top, which is implemented in Windows Azure by clusters of virtual machines, and there's data storage at the bottom, HDFS, or Hadoop Distributed File System. In the MapReduce pattern, each node in the cluster performs identical processing on the data stored at that node. And once done, the intermediate results are then coalesced and perhaps fed to additional mappers and reducers until the ultimate answer is reached or the problem becomes tractable for solving by non-distributed mechanisms. Now, in a traditional Hadoop installation, the data is co-resident with the processing servers to take advantage of data locality and minimize the effect of latency that occurs when moving massive amounts of data back and forth. Unfortunately, that means for the data to persist, the compute nodes have to be always on. And that's both expensive and contrary to the cloud mantra of scale up and scale down. In HD Insight, the Azure Storage Vault, an HDFS-compliant abstraction of the Windows Azure Blob Storage, is used. And what that does is provide data persistence without sacrificing the elasticity of the compute nodes. Now, the architecture in the data center is such that there's a minimal performance hit for bringing this data off-node. Hadoop, though, is really only part of the story. There's an incredible and growing ecosystem around the core capabilities. Projects like Pig and Hive that provide scripting and SQL-like constructs, Flume for log processing, Scoop for moving data back and forth to relational databases, and then there's higher-level engines like Mahout for machine learning, Pegasus for graph mining, and Uzi for workflow. Many of these technologies are already part of the HD Insight offering, and many more will be added as we move on. So let's take a look. So here I am in the Windows Azure portal. At the time of this recording, HD Insight was in preview mode, so you have to request access specifically via the subscriptions link at the top to see the option on the sidebar. Now, to create an HD Insight cluster, I can simply go to the new option here at the bottom and do a quick create. Now, whenever I create a cluster, I'm going to get essentially a cluster name that will have the Azure HDInsight.net subdomain, so it has to be unique across Windows Azure. I can select the size of how many nodes I want to be in that cluster, from 4 to 32, and then I have to create a password for the admin user that will allow me access directly into that cluster. Now, as I mentioned before, but from the architecture, we're actually using Windows Azure Storage as a backing storage for the compute nodes. And the storage account here that I have called Practical Azure is exactly that storage account that this HD Insight cluster is going to be using. So that would be a prerequisite of creating a cluster as well to set up that storage account. Now, it takes about 15 minutes or so to set up all the infrastructure here. So I'm not going to do that now. I could just hit Create HD Insight Cluster and it would all happen for me. Rather, I'm going to go back to a cluster that I created a couple days ago, and we'll take a look at interacting with HD Insight through that. Now let's go ahead and open up this particular cluster. And as you can see, I have a dashboard and a monitor as well that provides some high-level statistics on what's going on inside of that particular cluster. There's not a lot of other interaction here. There's really two ways that I can get to my Hadoop or HD Insight cluster. One of the ways is through just simply connecting via remote desktop. So what I can show you here is we're going to actually go into my cluster. We'll log into it with that admin password here. So once I log into my cluster, what I'm actually doing is logging into a Windows Server machine hosted inside of Windows Azure that's running Hadoop, my head node of Hadoop. And if you run Hadoop on premises, you might be familiar with these HTML presentations that give you essentially a ton of statistics about what's going on in your Hadoop cluster. At this point, I could actually upload Hadoop jobs and run them from the command line directly inside of Windows Azure. But I'd like to do things a little bit more easily, so I'm going to get out of remote desktop, and we're going to go back into the portal, and I'm going to hit the other option here, which is called Manage Cluster. So Manage Cluster is going to provide a different view of accessing those particular nodes inside of my cluster, and it's a little bit more of a graphical HTML view. So from here, you can see that I have access to a lot of different functionality to monitor the cluster. I can use remote desktop as well. I have access to some downloads, which are some other pieces of the ecosystem. We talked about Hive, for instance. This is how I might download the Hive ODBC driver, for instance, to do some other work, documentation and samples and all that. So what I'm going to do as a quick demo here is we're going to go into the sample section, and the sort of the hello world sample of big data is a word count example. So the word count example is set up here, and it gives you detailed steps on how to run through this particular sample. There is a Java file that will allow you to run a Hadoop job essentially from the command line. And then there's also a really cool way of doing things, rather than using sort of hardcore Java, is we can leverage one of the uniquely Microsoft aspects of HD Insight, and that's the JavaScript portal, or the JavaScript console. So if I go to the JavaScript Interactive Console, from here I can write essentially pure JavaScript to accomplish a MapReduce job. And the MapReduce job that we're going to be working on today is, again, this the hello world of Hadoop, or the word count. So for the word count example, what we really need to do is come up with a file of which we're going to call count each word and how many times each word appears in that file. The file we're going to use in this particular case is the works of Leonardo da Vinci. It's taken from the Project Gutenberg on Google's site. So we're going to use that as our input file. And then we're going to upload also a small script that does the MapReduce programming aspect of things. So the first thing I'm going to do is invoke a method here that will allow me to upload a file. And what I'm going to be doing here is I'm actually uploading the file that is our code. So if I upload WordCount.js, we'll look at this in a moment, but WordCount.js is actually the code that will do the MapReduce. So I can do a directory here, and you can see that we've got wordcount.js, and I can do a cat on wordcount.js, and you can kind of see what the implementation is. It's actually pretty small. There's two pieces to the implementation. There's a map piece and a reduce piece, and the way this whole map reduce stuff works is it takes the input file or some subsections of the input file, and this code will essentially just go through and find each individual word, and it will simply output two pieces of information for each word, the word and the number one. That's the map piece. The reduce piece comes in later and basically takes all of these outputs of word and the value 1 and then coalesces them. So all the words the, for instance, it adds up the ones. All the words a, it adds up the ones, and so on. So you come up with essentially a listing of word and the actual number of times it occurred. So the only code that was actually written to do this example is these, you know, 12 lines or so. Everything else is really the Hadoop engine being able to manage this for you. So that's the code, that's the MapReduce job. Now the other thing we need to do is we need to actually pull in the data. So there's a data file here that I have on my local machine as well, and that's the, oops, I guess I should browse to the data file. Let's try that one more time. So that is the DaVinci.txt file. And again, this has just some of the works of DaVinci. So it's a little bit longer. So that's uploaded as well. If I do a ls, you'll see that, DaVinci.txt. So now we want to essentially apply this MapReduce algorithm to the DaVinci.txt file. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. We could have just run a simple, well, not so simple, but written a Java program as a shell to this word count algorithm. Or we could use those higher level languages like Pig or Hive. So what I'm going to do here is use Pig. And Pig is essentially a high-level scripting language. And what we've done with Pig is we've integrated into the JavaScript console, and we've made essentially sort of a fluent interface. So as you can see, I'm going to build something that looks very link-like for those of you in the .NET world that will allow me to essentially create a series of MapReduce jobs that will give us our answer. Well, the first thing we're going to do is start with Pig, and then we're going to basically say, I want to take data from the input file, and that input file is DaVinci.txt. And on that data, I want to run a MapReduce program. And that MapReduce program is in wordcount.txt, wordcount.js. And the output of that is going to be essentially a word and a number. So I'm going to provide sort of a schema on top of that. I'm basically going to say that I'm going to get two columns out of this. One's called word, by default it will be a string, and another one's called count, and that will be data type of long. On top of that, I want to get the top 10 most commonly used words. So we're going to do an order by, and we'll refer to that, that column we just set up. We're going to order by descending. And we only want the 10, so we're going to do a take of 10. And then we want to throw that output somewhere. So let's just call it DaVinci. So what I've done here is essentially created a MapReduce job, or actually probably a couple MapReduce jobs, that will take the input file, run the MapReduce that does the word count, then order the results, and then just give me the top 10 results. So if I hit return here, what should happen is it should kick off this job. Now, MapReduce jobs are not immediate things. They're typically very batch-oriented, so they don't return very, very quickly. There's a lot of processing that gets involved, and even though this isn't a huge file, it's still going to take a while to get this thing done. What you typically will do here is you'll kind of take a look at the log file, and you can see what's going on as it's running this particular job. There's a lot of output here, a lot of informational output. Parts of the output will essentially show you level of completion. So here you can see 0% complete, and as this thing runs, we'll start seeing 10%, 20%, 30%, and so on. Here we go, we see a few here. So this will probably take a couple minutes to complete, so we're gonna sort of fast forward here and get to the end of this, and then we'll move on from there. So as you can see from the last line of the log, we've got some success, and our MapReduce job has completed. So let me go back to the JavaScript console, and let's do a little bit more work here. So what I'm going to do first of all is just confirm that that output file is there, and there we see it, DaVinci 10. I want to do a little bit of sort of ad hoc processing with that file. So what I can do here is I can actually read the file. Remember, it's going to have essentially the top 10 word count in it. So let me pull that file in. And you'll notice there's essentially our answers to the questions that we were asking. And that was, you know, what are the most commonly used words in the DaVinci text, and what's the occurrence? But I can do a little bit more than that. I can get some visuals out of it as well. So what I can do is I can pull the data out of it, and I can say parse the file data. So essentially it knows the schema for this particular data. So we'll do the word and the count colon long. And now I can do really cool things like graph it. Now I have a really nice bar graph. And if I prefer pie, I can do that as well. There's a pie chart that shows the distribution of all the words in the DaVinci text. Now, I'm doing all this very, very interactively, of course, but I could certainly write jobs that would do this. And I could take this same data that you saw here and actually load it up into Excel using the Hive ODBC driver that's also provided as part of HD Insight. So I could use Excel on the client side and tap into the same MapReduce job and do additional, you know, business intelligence and investigation of that data set through a tool that pretty much everybody knows, and that's Excel. So there's really a lot of examples, and there's no shortage of avenues to explore here. So with that, let's go back to the slides and wrap this up. As I mentioned earlier, HD Insight is currently in preview mode. So you'll first need to get your free Windows Azure account and then additionally request access to the HD Insight preview feature from that active subscription. That's not an immediate thing, by the way, as they work to increase capacity. So at this juncture, patience is advised. Now, for further learning about HD Insight and various big data scenarios, here too are a few links I pulled together. It turns out that Wenming Li, one of the Azure technical evangelists, has just started a series on Channel 9 with a similar premise to Practical Azure, but focused specifically on big data in very consumable chunks. So be sure to check that series out as well. Thanks again for joining me on this tour of Microsoft's cloud foray into big data. In the next episode, we're going to take a look at another offering that can provide quite a bit of interesting data for your MapReduce jobs, namely the Windows Azure Marketplace. Take care.